as Tennessee has the best record in the AFC at 7-2, and the Rams are now 7-2.
Hey guys, it's JJ Peters. Thanks for listening to the Sports Town Podcast, or the STP Pod for short. If you're listening on an audio platform such as Apple Podcasts or Spotify, don't forget to rate the pod. As you guys know, it would help out the podcast tremendously. If you're watching or listening on YouTube, which most of you are, don't forget to subscribe if you have not. Feel free to comment, like any of the videos that you have not already liked, and hit the bell for notifications so you'll be updated when we release new content. On today's episode of the Sports Town Podcast, the final episode of season number two, we have our good friends over at Legal Use of Hands, Hands of the Face. We talk about the NFL trade deadline and other topics related to football. You can find them on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. You can also check them out on YouTube as well. So again, the links will be down in the description below. That was a great conversation. Very wild last week in the NFL. And that is it. So unfortunately, we weren't able to get our next interview, but that's all right. We only got one. So again, this will be the final episode of season number two. But if you're subscribed to us on YouTube, I'll be making content almost new every week or every day. So don't forget to check that out. And then as always, we have the Sports Lightning Round, questions from Instagram, our weekly poll question, highlight of the week, and much more. And then, of course, don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at sports_podcast. You can also check us out on TikTok on the same username, Twitter at SportsTownPod. So again, check that all out. It'll be the link in the description below. And I think we've got everything going. So let's get the episode cooking. Before we start today's episode, I'd like to give a quick shout to our sponsor of today's video. And that sponsor is our good friends over at HelpYouFind.me. You're probably asking yourself, JJ, what is HelpYouFind.me? Well, I'll tell you what it is. Peter Sanchez, the founder, creator, and owner, was originally worried about his daughter and his mom always asking him for his travel details. HelpYouFind.me was initially created for collective peace of mind. 48 hours. These are the most critical moments to find you in the event of an emergency, or worse, waiting for the legal process to access your important history information, which can take up to weeks upon weeks upon weeks. With HelpYouFind.me, you have your own secure and encrypted digital If I Go Missing file that can give you your most trusted people access to virtual information much sooner than the authorities. Each person you share with that has its own access rules, and everything is completely encrypted. Not even HelpYouFind.me can access it. This puts you in total control of your data. You can also update your location, submit photos, screenshots, and post random information or notes on the go. It's as easy as texting with a friend. To find out more information, go to HelpYouFind.me. Also, don't forget to use the promo code down below in my description. If you use the promo code STP2021 to get 15% off your first order. Again, that promo code is STP2021 to get 15% off your first order. And go to, if you want more information, go to HelpYouFind.me. And again, I'll put the link down in the description down below. All right, let's get back to the show.
Highlight of the week.
AP comes all the way out to the logo. Here's a switch. It's Luka against Josh Richardson. Left side of the floor. Luka's three. It's a ring. And it's a Boston again.
Going to get down.
What a shot from Luka Doncic. He shoots it from way downtown on Saturday night at the buzzer to beat the Celtics 107-104. Doncic drops 33 points in the win. He also had 9 boards and 5 dimes. Veteran Dallas Mavericks broadcaster Mark Folwell, Derek Harper, and Jeff Skin were on the call. The Mavs are now 6-3 on the young season after the win over the Celtics. They currently have the 3 seed in the West at the time of this recording. Luka could possibly win his first league MVP this season.
The STP Sports Lightning Round. Your biggest sports stories in the world this past week.
Odell Beckham Jr.'s time in Cleveland is officially over. The former LSU product was released on Friday. The news was first reported by Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. There are multiple reports that said the Chiefs are interested in signing the three-time Pro Bowler. Other teams that could possibly sign the 29-year-old from New Orleans are his hometown Saints, the Seahawks, the Patriots, the Buccaneers, the Rams, the Ravens, and much more. And also the Packers. According to multiple reports, Beckham would like to join a team that is a Super Bowl contender and has a chance to compete for the Super Bowl this season. So teams like the Lions, Dolphins, Texans, and others at the bottom of the league, if they claimed him, he would not likely be very happy. There would also be a good chance he would not even show up to the team facility. If a team claims the former 12th overall pick of the 2014 NFL draft, they would owe him his remaining $7.5 million from the Cleveland Browns. OBJ's time in Cleveland never really worked. He constantly butted heads with quarterback Baker Mayfield. Last week, Odell Beckham Sr., Odell Beckham's father, was complaining that Mayfield was constantly avoiding to throw to his star wide receiver even when he was wide open. The Browns traded for OBJ back in the offseason of 2019 to reunite him with his former teammate Jarvis Landry. The Browns still did not make the playoffs that season, and Beckham struggled in his first year in Cleveland. Cleveland would once again change leadership. They would have a new coach and new GM. New head coach Kevin Stefanski wanted to run the ball more, and so Beckham's stats suffered. OBJ continued to get hurt and hasn't had a full healthy season since his time at the Big Apple back in 2016. The Brown and Orange tried to look for a trade partner before the deadline, but did not come to fruition. So on Wednesday morning, the Cleveland Browns sent Odell Beckham Jr. home, and were planning on waiving him. It became official on Friday morning. To no surprise, Kyle Larson has won the 2021 NASCAR Cup Championship. Larson dominated most of the season, and on Sunday, he won his 10th race in 2021. Larson became the first driver since Jimmy Johnson in 2007 to win double-digit races and the Cup in the same season. It was also Hendrick Motorsports' 14th title. It was Larson's first season with Hendrick Motorsports after he was fired by Chip Ganassi Racing in 2020 for saying a racial slur during a live Twitch stream. The 29-year-old from California edged out Martin Truex Jr. from JGR on Sunday at Phoenix Raceway. Larson's teammate and last year's champion Chase Elliott finished fifth and finished fourth for the season total. Driver of the number 5 Chevrolet Camaro led 107 laps and took control of the race with just 30 laps left after having a great pit stop. At the time, Martin Truex Jr. was leading and failed to maintain the lead at Phoenix. After winning the 2021 NASCAR Cup, Kyle Larson was in tears. It was very emotional for him. He had this to say about his team after winning the Bill France Cup.
Yeah, it was a little bit of an up and down race compared to the four of us. There was moments where I was like, maybe I've got a good enough car to win outright. And then there was times where I was definitely the fourth best car. So, definitely a team win. I'm honestly...
Without my pit crew on that last stop, we would not be standing right here. So they are the true winners of this race. They are true champions. I am just blessed to be part of this group. I cannot believe it. I didn't even think I'd be racing a cup car a year and a half ago to winning a championship is crazy. In 2019, Larson finished sixth, and at the time, it was his best finish at the end of the season in his career. The rest of the top five were Martin Truex Jr., Denny Hamlin, Ryan Blaney, and defending champion Chase Elliott. Denny Hamlin is yet to win a NASCAR Cup despite being in contention 5 times. He is now 0-5. Despite all of the success, he is a 3-time Daytona champion. The Houston Astros are bringing back manager Dusty Baker for at least one more year. Houston Astros owner Bob Crane announced the news on Friday afternoon. Baker was hired by the Astros in 2020 on a 2-year contract after Houston dismissed AJ Hinch. Baker led the Astros to the World Series this postseason, but lost to the Atlanta Braves in 6 games. In 2 years as the manager for the Astros, Baker has led them to 2 ALCS championship appearances and won one of them. He also helped Houston make it to their 3rd World Series in 5 seasons. The 72-year-old manager has managed 5 different teams, the Giants, the Reds, the Cubs, the Nationals, and the Astros. The only thing that he has not accomplished yet has been winning a World Series. He has been to 2 of them and lost both times. He is also a 3-time Manager of the Year. Baker lost in 2002 with the Giants and the Angels, and this year he lost to the Braves with the Astros. After re-signing with Houston, Baker had this to say about the Astros. Yeah, because we still got some unfinished business. I mean, I love these guys. I love the town of Houston. The fans are behind us. Many players were very excited to see Baker return as the Astros manager. Jose Altuve was very pleased and stated, yes, absolutely, to having Baker come back. Free agent-to-be Carlos Correa also was thrilled to have Baker returning as well, although there is a great chance that Correa will not return to the Astros after they couldn't agree on extension this past offseason. One of Dusty Baker's offseason goals is to bring back shortstop Carlos Correa. We'll see what happens, but many expect Correa to sign with the new team when the 2022 season begins.
Glad to be back. You know, we have an exciting future here and present, and, you know, looking forward to, you know, being part of this organization in the city. You know, I got some tremendous ties here and just have some unfinished business to take care of. But, you know, we're close. We're getting better every year. You know, I just thank the organization for giving us the pieces. Thank James.
It's crazy, but it's true. Former NBA player Deron Williams is set to make his debut in the boxing ring on December 18th as part of the Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury undercard. Williams played 12 seasons in the NBA with the Jazz, the Nets, the Mavericks, and Cavs. According to multiple reports, Williams has been training MMA for years and actually owns a stake in Dallas Fortis. It is a well-regarded as the best place to train in the MMA world. During his time in the NBA, Deron Williams was a three-time All-Star and helped Team USA win two gold medals in the 2008 and 2012 Summer Olympic Games. Williams is from West Virginia and was drafted third overall in the 2005 NBA draft by the Utah Jazz. The Athletic was the first to report the news of Deron Williams fighting in the Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury undercard on December 18th in Tampa, Florida. It is still being determined on who Deron Williams will fight against. Sam Cerrone of The Athletic first reported that Deron Williams' opponent could be NFL running back Frank Gore. Gore has played 15 seasons in the NFL and is in third for the most rushing yards by a running back in NFL history, only behind Hall of Famers Walter Payton and Emmitt Smith. Gore is a five-time Pro Bowler and has been in the league since 2005. He was originally drafted by the Niners in the third round, 65th overall. The 38-year-old has been with the Niners, Colts, Dolphins, Bills, and Jets. He is currently a free agent at the moment. If this ends up happening, this will definitely be an entertaining fight to watch. The Ben Simmons drama in Philly is still happening. According to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, the Sixers have resumed fining Ben Simmons. Simmons was not showing up to training camp or preseason game, so the Sixers decided to start fining him before the season began. However, it was first reported that Ben Simmons had some mental health issues, so the Sixers decided to stop fining him. But that did not last very long. Simmons has refused to be helped by the Sixers organization, so Philly has decided to start fining him once again. All the money that the Sixers are fining Ben Simmons will go into an escrow account. Ben Simmons missed the 76ers game on Thursday night. The former LSU product was fined $360,000. In fact, every game he misses, he will be fined that same amount. According to Sixers organization, he has been showing up to practices, but he has not showed up to anything else that is mandatory like weight training, film study, and other things related to the team. Ben Simmons is currently in a second year of a contract extension that he signed back in 2020 that was worth $147 million over the next 4 years. Simmons requested a trade after last season was over and has failed to dress any of the Sixers games so far this season. The 76ers have failed to find any suitors for the former number one overall pick out of LSU. There is a chance Ben Simmons will lose out on millions of dollars and maybe not even dress for the 76ers at all this season. According to multiple reports, the drama between the Sixers organization and Ben Simmons isn't even close to being done. Buckle up, Philly. It could be a long season with the Ben Simmons drama. On Saturday night, Kamaru Usman defeated Kobe Covington in a unanimous decision to retain the UFC welterweight belt. Usman knocked down number one challenger Kobe Covington twice in the second round. However, Covington got up both times and had a late surge later in the rounds. The Nigerian nightmare had to hold off Covington's comeback. Usman defended all of Covington's knockdown attempts. Covington finally got the edge on Usman with the leg kicks in the third and fourth rounds. The Nigerian nightmare seemed to be hurt in the later rounds. The fight was up in the air in the last round. However, the defending champ was able to use some of his jabs in the last round to secure the victory. The judges scored the fight 48-47, 48-47, and 49-46 in favor of Kamaru Usman. It seems like Usman really has no competitors that are even on his planet at the moment. Usman is now 20-1 and has defeated Kobe Covington twice. He also has defeated Jorge Masvidal twice and Gilbert Burns once. On the other side, Covington is now 60-3 with two losses to Usman. His last one came versus Tyron Woodley back in 2020. Canelo Alvarez continues to dominate the boxing world. Alvarez is boxing's main attraction. On Saturday night, Canelo Alvarez continued his dominance with a knockout win over Caleb Plant, in the 11th round. And for the first time in his career, he is now an undisputed champion. Alvarez's career boxing record is 57-1-2 with 39 knockouts. The judges scored the match 96-94, 98-92, and 97-93 in favor of the 31-year-old from Mexico. Alvarez did it in front of a sold-out crowd at the MGM Grand Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. After the knockout, Caleb Plant had to be transported to the hospital following the loss to Alvarez. This is what Canelo Alvarez had to say about beating Caleb Plant on Saturday night. "It means so much to me for the history of Mexico to be an undisputed champion. My respect to Caleb Plant. He is a very difficult fighter with a loss of ability. I respect the fight. We're men at the end. We wanted to continue. I said there's no shame. We had a great fight today." Alvarez has not lost a fight since 2013 when he lost to Floyd Mayweather Jr. The fight between Alvarez versus Plant was originally scheduled for September 18th, but it did not work out. Canelo Alvarez has won many world championships in four different weight classes. Those include the light middleweight and light heavyweight title. The counterpuncher is also the first undisputed super middleweight world champion. He also has many different belts that include the WBA, the WBC, the Ring Magazine, and the IBF. One thing is for sure, when Canelo Alvarez hangs up the gloves, he will most likely be one of the greatest boxers of all time. And last but not least, Justin Gaethje defeated Michael Chandler at UFC 268. Many fans are considering it to be the fight of the year in the UFC. Both fighters are ranked in the top five of the lightweight division. Both have fought for the title in the lightweight division and came up just short. In the first round, Chandler dominated Gaethje. In the second, it was the opposite. Gaethje had a nice uppercut on Chandler that hurt him badly. In the third, neither fighters would back down. However, a fighter had to win in the end. The judges at the end scored it in favor of Gaethje. With the win, Gaethje now has a chance to fight the winner of Oliveira versus Poirier to once again compete for the lightweight belt in the UFC. Many fans can't wait to watch both of these upcoming fights. Justin Gaethje is 23-3, while Michael Chandler is 22-7. Both Chandler and Gaethje are ranked in the top five of the UFC lightweight rankings. Gaethje is second, while Chandler is fifth. Not sure on who Chandler will fight next, but we will keep you updated on his next matchup. And now, onto our interview with the Legal Use of Hands, Hands to the Face YouTube show. Alrighty, I am pleased to be joined by the guys at Illegal Use of Hands, Hands to the Face, a football show. How's it going, guys?
I think we're both doing pretty well. How are you doing, Jake?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right.
Thanks for coming on kind of a short notice. And again, we're going to talk about the NFL and everything that happened the last 2 or 3 days, actually the last 3 days. But before we start talking about that, if you guys want to mention your football show, your YouTube channel, all that good stuff.
Yeah, so our YouTube channel is A Legal Use of Hands, Hands to the Face. Long name, just to be kind of funny and ironic. But we just like to talk about football on a weekly basis. Right now we're doing about 2 shows a week, and see a preview for the week and then a recap of what happened all week. And we go through all the games. We throw some, now we've been throwing some timestamps in. So they're long videos, but if you just want to hear us talk about your team, feel free to come check us out. And hopefully we say something that interests you or makes you want to comment and tell us why we're wrong. That's the best, is when people tell us why we're wrong.
Do you want to add anything to that, Jake? Or
we're wrong a lot. So not recently though. We haven't been getting a lot of comments saying we're wrong. So pleased with that.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, ESPN is wrong most of the time too. So all right. And of course, what happened over the last few days has been crazy. Of course, the trade deadline, the NFL is always crazy. But the first thing that happened actually happened on Wednesday morning. Aaron Rodgers is out for their next game versus the Chiefs. That would basically make Jordan Love the starter for Sunday. It'd be his first ever game he starts. How shocked were you with the Aaron Rodgers news?
Jake, I'll let you take this one first.
I was shocked because it said that he was vaccinated during training camp and all that. So I just thought it was going to be smooth sailing with him and he was going to ride out the whole season without any problems. At first, when I saw the news too, I mean, I still had that in the back of my head. And I was like, why is he out for Sunday? He's got to sit for 2 days. But yeah, no, he can't play. Getting Jordan Love out there, though, against that Chiefs defense, I don't think it's going to be as bad as, I mean, a lot of people thought as soon as the news got out there.
I think that it's interesting talking about how, I mean, that happening. I definitely wasn't expecting the news. My first thought was, I thought I'm really not keeping track very well of who is or isn't vaccinated in the NFL. I just made the assumption that he was, and I was like, dang, he got really unlucky in terms of getting his monthly test it is for people that are vaccinated. I just made the assumption he was, and he actually got it in that short time period. But whether or not that's the case, that's not really a big deal. He's out. That's the important thing in terms of football. And if he's out, I'm very interested to see how this is going to go, because something that Jake and I have really talked about a ton recently is just how the Chiefs and their entire thing has been like, we don't want to be out on the Chiefs yet in terms of the record being bad and even keeping games close, like against the Giants, that really shouldn't be close when you talk about their roster. It's very interesting, but and probably I would have favored the Packers like really heavily in this game, if Rodgers was playing. But with Jordan Love in, it becomes a lot more interesting, because the Chiefs have kind of obviously slowed down from where they were like the past few years. But then Jordan Love may even it out, because the Packers have been playing like one of the best teams in the league up to this point. And I'm still really having trouble figuring out which way I think this game's going to go. But I do think the Chiefs, any given week, could just come on and start playing really hot again. So that's another interesting aspect to it. It's just, when is that going to come? Because they still had the turnover issues against the Giants on Monday night.
Yeah, like the Chiefs, when I saw them take on when they took on the Giants on Monday night, they didn't look that great. I mean, Mahomes, turned the ball over twice. He fumbled, and of course the interception was kind of not really necessarily his fault. It was a tipped pass, but I mean, they didn't look super impressive. They barely beat the Giants, who are one of the worst teams in the NFC at least. But I mean, with Jordan Love out, this probably favors the Chiefs. Or not with Jordan Love, but with Aaron Rodgers out, this definitely favors the Chiefs. But I think if Rodgers plays, I think this game would be closer than a lot of people think. If Rodgers is playing, I'd give the edge to Green Bay. But now that Jordan Love is making his first career start with Rodgers being out, I would probably favor the Chiefs a little bit. But again, the Chiefs haven't been as good this year as they were the last few years. And it's still probably up in the air, but I'm going to probably just go with the Chiefs just because Jordan Love is making his first career start. How well do you think he'll perform this Sunday versus Kansas City?
I'd say that we got a chance to see a good amount of him as Bills fans in one preseason game that we played against the Packers. He played the majority of it. They actually moved the ball really successfully, but kind of talking about the Chiefs, with how they've played really this season, the theme of that one preseason game that we watched with Jordan Love playing a significant amount in was that they were moving the ball, and then they would have like one thing get screwed up to just completely ruin the drive. So the drive that comes to my mind the most is like one where I feel like they started like maybe inside their own 15 yard line in the preseason, the Packers, and they moved the ball all the way down the field, inside our 15, maybe even. And then Jordan Love has a play that's like a bootleg, and he just chucks up a prayer that there's no chance is going to get answered. And that type of thing is really what I'm worried about. I think they'll actually be able to move the ball still pretty effectively. I think that Jordan Love is fairly accurate from what I remember of him in college, and just how he's looked in those very limited opportunities I've seen him. He just really needs to avoid that mistake that he sort of seemed, that one big mistake on a drive that can kill it. And honestly, if he played a game manager role this weekend and really did that the entire game, I think the Packers should be able to come out of this one with a victory with how the Chiefs have been playing. But I don't know if he's going to do that, because his tendencies haven't been leaning towards that. in the past.
Yeah, the rookie mistakes are going to be inevitable, though. To have him not do something stupid is going to be asking a lot, because every rookie QB does. But yeah, watching the one preseason game that he played against the Bills, moving it in between the 15s, he looked great. And I mean, the Bills defense is up there as one of the best right now in the league, and they've left the starters in to like the end of the third quarter in that preseason game, and he was still playing against them. But yeah, the same play came to mind thinking about that as well. Just the bootleg that he just chucked up. But I'd say if there's any defense that you could do that, get away with doing that too, it'd be the Chiefs. I mean, if Dan Sorensen's out there, target him every play. He's been terrible. I don't know how he hasn't gotten benched yet. But yeah, that should help him a lot if Devontae Adams gets out there on Dan Sorensen. But yeah, going against the Chiefs defense, it's going to help a lot with him making stupid rookie mistakes. But if he can cut that down to one or two, the game is winnable for them. But if he has more than that, I think it's out of reach just with how frequently the Chiefs move the ball, even with their turnovers too.
I think two could be enough to screw it up. It's if the Chiefs actually take advantage of those two mistakes. If those two mistakes just end up being like swatted down balls, not a big deal. If those two mistakes end up being picks, that could swing the game.
Yeah, well, at least for Jordan Love, he has Devontae Adams back, because I know last week Adams missed the game because of the COVID protocols. But I mean, yeah, the Chiefs defense has definitely not been great. It's actually been horrible this year. The Chiefs are 4-4 right now, and I think there is, if you're the Chiefs right now, there is time to worry, or you should be starting to worry. But the thing is, that division, that AFC West, I don't think it's as good as what it's looking like right now. I don't know if the Raiders are as good as their record shows. The Broncos, yeah, they're 4-4 right now. It's kind of iffy. The Chargers, they've just dropped their last two games. I don't know, man. I still think the Chiefs are going to win that division. But yeah, I think with Jordan Love going into, or I think it's in Kansas City, I think he'll have a solid game. He'll probably have at least one turnover, maybe an interception, maybe a fumble. Because as you mentioned, he's going to be a rookie. He's going to make those mistakes. So I don't know. I'm going to probably lean to the Chiefs here, but I could see Love having a solid game. We're going to talk about the Raiders a little more with Henry Ruggs, but I do kind of want to talk about this before. Von Miller is officially now with the Rams. That defense now already has Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey. Now they add Von Miller. I mean, what did you guys think about that trade?
I thought it was a great pickup. The Rams just love not being able to draft too, so that helps them as well. But I've made the joke to Hayden a bunch that if him and I were lined up on a D-line with Aaron Donald, we'd be able to get two sacks by the end of the season. So putting Von Miller there too, that like Von Miller could get double-digit sacks now at the half point of the season by the end point, just because of the double and triple teams that Aaron Donald faces. That defense just keeps getting better and building it off superstars too. That's what the Rams love to do. And it's really unique because the only other team that does it really is the Titans. And that, didn't work out for them now because your biggest superstar got hurt. But keeping those three, four guys healthy that are studs, they're going to win a lot of football games now, more with Von Miller.
When I saw this trade, the first thing I said to Jake was actually that I can't believe how much like the entire NFL landscape is just still sitting. And like, I think Von Miller helps this team. That's really what I need to preface with this statement. But I can't believe how much like people are still talking about these players from like the 2011 NFL draft class as if they're huge playmakers, like they're in their prime. I'm just like looking around at names I remember from that era, like Patrick Peterson, Cam Newton, AJ Green, JJ Watt. I don't know if they're as much of an impact as they were in their prime. People still view them that way. I think Von Miller's a significant pickup for the Rams, and it will improve them, but I don't know if it'll be as much of an impact as people think that it will be.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. With what the Rams have done lately, like they gave up a second and third round pick. They gave up three first round picks for Stafford. Now they don't have a second or a third round pick. it is interesting that the Rams pretty much just trade all their assets for players right now. And I think the Rams, to be honest with you, they're probably one of the best teams in the NFL, maybe the best team or the second best team in the NFC. Stafford is looking like an MVP candidate. Of course, he was freed out of Detroit. I mean, adding Von Miller, he definitely is not in his prime as he used to be, but I still think he's a good player, and he'll probably get a few sacks with Aaron Donald being on that team as well. So, I mean, I think the Rams it goes to show you that they want to win now, and they don't really care about draft picks, as we've already seen. I mean, what have you thought about the Rams season so far? Do you think Stafford right now should be somewhere in that top three MVP list?
I think it's very hard to still figure out which, especially in the AFC. The AFC right now, to me, feels like it's wide open. From the NFC perspective, it feels like there's, like last week, I would have said there's like two like really obvious like front runners. And even then, like that kind of got like flipped on its head on a week-to-week basis. I think the Rams are in a really good position to be definitely a Super Bowl contender. And it's just so hard because your recency bias wants you to change your opinion so quickly. But obviously the Rams have had the last three game slate they've had have been against like three of the worst teams in the NFL, which has really made them look good and really probably given everybody the idea that they're riding high right now. So trying to like combat that with like being realistic in expectations, I still think it is realistic to say that these guys definitely have one of the best rosters in the NFL. And even though I did mention that Von Miller is not what he used to be, I think the crazy thing is that even though he's not nearly at that level, he could be a piece that is potentially the difference between them winning the Super Bowl or not even making it to the Super Bowl or something like that, because that small of a difference with how good this team already is huge. And I think that the addition of Stafford this offseason really made it so that this team is like one of the best in the NFL.
Yeah, for the NFC with me, I still have trouble taking Tampa Bay off of one, but it's like a three-way tie for two after that. And I agree with what Hayden said. It's the Rams are riding this high of playing these bad teams. And then, you know, going into like last week, I was like, but after this week, they're playing the Titans. So it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a real game. And now the Titans lose their biggest playmaker in Derrick Henry for the season. And now it seems like they might just steamroll over them too. Right now the Rams have a really easy path to just gobble up regular season wins and then go into the postseason riding high.
Yeah. Speaking of the Titans, Derrick Henry is out 6 to 10 weeks. And I think Derrick Henry, or at least before he got hurt, he was somewhere in the MVP conversation. It could have been the first player to rush for over 2,000 yards in back-to-back seasons. Do you guys think, I mean, that division isn't very good, so they still have a chance to win, but Ryan Tannehill hasn't really played that great. And I think the whole team is based on Derrick Henry. If Derrick Henry, or basically he opens for like guys like AJ Brown, where they can have big games. But I mean, do you think the Titans still win that division and go to the playoffs without Derrick Henry?
Go ahead, Jake.
When the news first broke, I was like, God, their season's done. And then I thought about the AFC South. I was like, the Jags and the Texans and the Colts, there's a real good chance that they still might make it. And then I know I just said that Derrick Henry's season's over, but if they make it to the playoffs, he can come back. Don't want to rush anything, but there's a possibility he can come back. But I still think that they would lose in that first game of the playoffs if it does happen. But I mean, Adrian Peterson's there now too, and Hayden's going to get into it. Adrian Peterson's one of the hardest runners in the NFL still, even at like 47 years old. So I'm not going to take anything away from him.
Adrian Peterson, starting there, just because you mentioned him, I actually think that you can really still hand him the rock like most of the game. The only thing with him is that nowadays there's absolutely no way that once he gets into the open field, he's running away from anybody anymore. But man, you go watch him in recent years. He's still running like a freight train, unlike anyone else. That man's insane. But with the rest, looking at the Titans as a whole, I think the really important thing to talk about within that division is, yes, Jacksonville, Houston, we have no worries about that. Strange thing about what's happened in the NFL this year, seemingly more than usual, we've had these early season slates where teams have to play two divisional opponents before really bumping into their other divisional opponents. So the Titans have already gotten their two games against the Colts out of the way. They beat the Colts twice, which means the Colts have to exceed the number of wins that the Titans have to take that division from them. That's pretty hard, even if the Titans don't have Derrick Henry for the next 6 to 10 weeks. The Titans definitely will have to start throwing the ball more. But I've been kind of annoyed with the Titans, even in the past weeks with Derrick Henry on the field, that they haven't been throwing the ball more, because all this offseason, Jake and I talked about how we think A.J. Brown could potentially be the best receiver in the NFL. He doesn't get the targets, though. But if he did, it would be really interesting to see how that goes. Having Julio on the opposite side is also nothing you can just scoff at. So, I mean, you have to think about that, too. I think they need to get their passing game going. I think Adrian Peterson may actually help them more than people expect. And I don't think that the run game becomes completely irrelevant for them without Derrick Henry, even though it may seem like it will. It's obviously not going to be nearly as effective, but I think that they can find a way to win a lot of close games, which they usually do anyways. I think it'll be able to keep their heads above water, and they have a healthy lead in that division over the one team in that division that could potentially come back. But they're probably, with how the season's trending now, even though they're like best record in the AFC right now, without Henry, they're probably going to be happy if they get the 3 or 4 seed in the AFC.
Well, the Colts are an interesting team, because I think the Titans, they shouldn't be afraid of the Texans and Jaguars. Those are one of the two worst teams in the league. But the Colts are they're 3-5 right now, and they've surprisingly played a lot of those good teams early. I think the first few weeks they played like playoff teams. And of course, they lost to Seattle in week 1 with Russell Wilson. They lost to the Rams, 27-24. And then, of course, they almost beat the Ravens. The Ravens had that miraculous comeback led by Lamar Jackson. But the Colts, I feel like, are a better 3-5 team than we give them credit for. But Carson Wentz is a quarterback that seems to always never give up on a play. And even when a play is not going to get better, he always makes it worse somehow. So that's kind of a thing about the Colts. But yeah, I still think the Titans will probably go 9-8 or 10-7 and still win their division as like a number 4 seed. But I do think with the when they added Adrian Peterson, I don't know how good that's going to be. But I do think with how bad their division is, and I don't know if the Colts can really make that run, I feel like the Titans are still going to win it without Henry. But I do think Henry, if they make the playoffs, he'll be back for the postseason. And I think he'll be like the Derrick Henry of old. But I mean, we'll see what happens. I did want to mention Henry Ruggs. He looks like he's going to... The whole situation is kind of I think that happened on Tuesday or something like that, where he was charged with a DUI and is facing possibly criminal charges. What do you think about the whole situation?
I think it's dumb to be driving 160 miles per hour when you're sober, let alone dumb and even dumber to be driving. Just driving drunk is absolutely stupid. In general as well. I mean, now doing them combined is just like, I have no idea what type of decisions you're making in your life. But yeah, no, Henry Ruggs is a guy that coming out of college, probably one of the most, like, in terms of that draft class, probably the guy I was actually most excited for coming out at the receiver position. Really waiting for him to come on with the Raiders. But no, I mean, I don't know how much there is to say about it, other than the fact that that's just like, there's like no excuses for those actions. And then that I don't see him being, I don't know. He may not ever get another shot in the NFL, because that's pretty close to as bad as something as you can do. But yeah.
Yeah. It's terrible. I don't see any coming back from this. I think his playing days in the league are done. And I mean, that's even before anything. He gets charged with anything or sent to prison. So, yeah, I don't know how much more I can add on to what Hayden said, but he's done.
Yeah, we should it is supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, and I believe in that. Normally, I just don't know what evidence could come out. We have to leave the door open that evidence could come out to change something, but I have no idea with the situation described as it has been now how evidence would come out to change anything from this story at all.
Yeah, it is disappointing, especially for a guy like Henry Ruggs, who was drafted, was the first receiver taken in the 2020 draft. He was taken before Jerry Jeudy. He was taken before CD Lamb. And, you know, with the whole there, I'm surprised how good the Raiders are doing this year with how many problems off the field they've had with John Gruden. Now they've had a problem with Henry Ruggs. Like, if the Raiders do end up winning their division, I'll be surprised. And I just mentioned I don't necessarily trust the Raiders, but it is kind of disappointing, or not it is disappointing with Henry Ruggs, but I mean, we'll see what happens. There's still time, but it's a disappointing look. I know this, or did you have anything else to add to that, Hayden?
Yeah. I just think it's interesting with the Raiders, that I said to Jake, a little while ago after the John Gruden stuff came out, like, I'm not a big fan of John Gruden anyways. Like I said, there's a chance that them being without John Gruden actually helps them become a better team. And I could say that swings them in a positive favor, that type of news, because just like, I don't know, seemed like kind of a cancerous guy to get out of the building. And I think that may have actually pushed them in a positive direction. This situation, on the other hand, this, even though it seemingly shouldn't be like related to the team as a whole, I could see this pushing them down a bad path and really setting them off in the wrong direction, even though it's just the mistakes of one guy. I feel like that's got to have a huge impact around the team. And I don't know how I'd feel in that locker room. And just, there is the potential for this to go really bad for the team, even though it's just one guy.
Yeah, I mean, Henry Ruggs is supposed to be their number one receiver, and there was so much hype for him, especially with how, you know, how much hype he had coming out of the draft, and it is disappointing to hear. I know this is kind of a smaller, move, but I mean, we just talked about how bad the Chiefs defense was, and they added Melvin Ingram from the Steelers. I mean, what did you guys think? Did you think that it was a good move by the Chiefs, or what were you guys thinking?
He's not a sure-handed wide receiver or a good pass blocking offensive lineman, so I don't know how much it really helps the Chiefs. I've said this during the offseason too. Whoever gets Melvin Ingram is getting a washed defensive lineman, a washed edge rusher, and he showed that in Pittsburgh. And I mean, Mike Tomlin said something like, "We want volunteers and not hostages here." Like, dude, yeah, you're holding them hostage, but I feel like any team he goes to is holding them hostage. He shouldn't be on a team. Like, he's getting by on his name alone at this point. I feel like he has some production. He gave the Bills a lot of trouble in week one, but it seems like that week one game for the Steelers has kind of been an enigma for the rest of the season. They haven't played like that against any other team. He got the Steelers a 6th-round pick. So, I mean, that's good management by them, but I don't know how much more help he gives the Chiefs besides adding another rotational piece with Frank Clark.
Reference. Jake is a salty Bills fan in terms of the Steelers loss. That's the first thing to point out. The second thing to point out is that Jake has also been wanting to just trash the Steelers all offseason. I can't even say for a certain reason, but he has been on that bandwagon. So I should point those out. So anything he says, it's coming from that biased perspective. I'm just not like excited to watch the Steelers, knowing what like their offense can produce and that type of thing. So honestly, I can't say that I've watched them much since week one, but I definitely haven't been hearing Melvin Ingram's name as like playing a big impact for anybody. That Chiefs defense has been so atrocious. Whereas before, I talked about the Rams getting like a potential middle of the road guy in Von Miller, which is crazy to say considering the name. But that's where I actually think he is at this point. And then Melvin Ingram, like potentially kind of around, I guess, slightly lower tier of middle of the road player, getting added to a Chiefs defense. it could put the Rams over the hump and make them better. I don't know how you say a middle of the road guy changes just an absolutely atrocious defense into anything special. I don't imagine that he'll have much of an impact, just to be completely honest with you. I think one of the main culprits really is, like Jake said earlier, I feel like Dan Sorensen has been playing some of the worst football in the league. And that's not even a joke. We're just talking about the difference in terms of like safeties around the league. It feels like every single team has some solid safeties on their roster now. Meanwhile, the Chiefs are the one team that you can point to and say, hey, yeah, that one guy playing opposite, like potentially one of the best safeties in the league in Tyrann Mathieu, the guy playing opposite him is one of the worst players in the league at his position. That's only picking on one guy on the Chiefs defense, but as a whole, it's obviously been terrible. And I don't think Melvin Ingram will change that.
Yeah. I mean, he is getting older, as you guys were mentioning, but I mean, it was the Chiefs needed some help on defense and they made some type of move. I think that was all right, but yeah, I don't think he'll make much impact, as you guys mentioned. And of course, we're kind of running short here on time, but I do kind of want to talk more about Deshaun Watson. He didn't get traded. I wasn't surprised. I mean, were you guys surprised at all that he wasn't traded?
I wasn't, because in my opinion, it's pretty simple. The Texans the Texans gain nothing from trading him at this point in the year. And the other teams would be potentially trying to trade for him would gain from trying to get him now. So the Texans are just making a smart move, holding onto him through the offseason. If they traded him now, the Texans would look even worse as an organization as they already have in the past few years. So props to the Texans for finally making a good decision, really, and holding onto him so that they can get the highest value for their former starting quarterback.
Yeah, holding on to him drives up his value at some point when or if he can be traded. And then, I mean, I feel like every team around the league was reluctant to trade for him. I mean, for obvious reasons. The one team that was really in was the Dolphins. And all that they did by like sniffing their nose around that was just like lose confidence in their QB and have their QB lose confidence in himself. They're the one team that was really in on him. There were other teams too, but they didn't like let that absorb them at all. Like the Eagles, they could have just completely ruined Jalen Hurts by mentioning it, or any other team that's QB needy. Instead, the Dolphins just ruined Tua by keeping their nose stuck in it all the way up until the trade deadline.
Yeah. And I didn't think he was going to get traded either, because we still don't know what the whole deal is. I mean, there's still the alleged assault and stuff like that. They're still like, we don't know. They haven't still figured out. And the NFL still doesn't know what to do yet. Even Roger Goodell admitted today, he's like, we don't know what to do. Like, there's been no ruling, so we can't really make a decision. And I think the Texans have him currently on paid leave, which I think just means that basically he's not going to be playing for the Texans anytime soon. But I think if he does get traded, it's probably going to be Miami. I know Carolina was mentioning they wanted to trade Christian McCaffrey. Then they said at the last minute, no, we're not going to do that. And of course, nobody's going to want McCaffrey, especially with his being injured all the time and that contract he's got. And then I think the Eagles were a little bit in the conversation, but they decided just to hold. But I think I don't think he'll be traded till next offseason. And we probably won't have anything until something is found out, because still we have no idea what the whole deal with Deshaun Watson is. So I think I'm with you guys. I was not shocked at all. So, and as I mentioned again, we're running out of time, but do you guys have any picks for this Sunday? I know there's not a lot of great games in the slot, but do you guys have any big games for this weekend?
There's not very many games where I'd say I want to pick against the favorite. Definitely the game that I'm going to say I'm watching closely is that Chiefs Packers game though. Other than that, actually I'm going to the Bills Jaguars game. So I'll be there, but I mean, really that's not actually an interesting game if you're not rooting for one of those teams. So I'd say keep your eyes on Packers Chiefs. That's the one that's really interesting me. Also, I want to see where Chicago and Pittsburgh really sit on Monday night, because they're kind of two teams that had some interesting views on them heading into the season. And, you know, I just want to see where they're at. I think that's a good matchup.
The one game that I'd say keep your eyes on that Hayden didn't say, Atlanta at New Orleans, just to see how Trevor Siemian plays. He played a good like quarter and a half of football. I don't know if he can keep that up. Atlanta might be able to upset them.
All right, again, thanks for coming on, guys. Don't forget to check out the YouTube show, Illegal Hands or Hands to the Face. Again, thanks for coming on. And, again, have a great day and enjoy this week of watching football.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right, before we end the show, I'd like to discuss more about Focus Sparkling Water. Focus Sparkling Water is a delicious drink that is healthy for you. It has no calories, no sugars, and no sweeteners. It is everything you need to have a healthy drink, and it's really, really good. It also has L-theanine and is lightly carbonated. Focus Sparkling Water is refreshing. To make things even better, it increases your attention and gives you more energy. I love Focus Sparkling Water, and I know you will too. And as always, the link will be down in the description below. Use promo code STP to get 15% off your first order, and you won't regret it. All right, it's time for our weekly poll question. Again, you can always vote on Instagram and Facebook at sports_podcast and also on YouTube. And again, check out the YouTube channel. And the first question is, should the Saints release Michael Thomas? Well, it's kind of, right now, it's 67% say yes. Now, on YouTube, I also added trade him, but not many people have voted yet. But right now, 67% said they should release him and part ways with the former Offensive Player of the Year. The second question is Buster Posey a Hall of Famer? Well, currently it's 50-50. Of course, I think he is because, of course, he won an MVP, he won three World Series, he won a Rookie of the Year back in 2010. He only played 12 seasons, but I think Buster Posey, not the greatest catcher of all time, but I do think he is a Hall of Famer. And again, thanks for voting. You can always vote every week on Instagram and Facebook at sportstown_podcast or on YouTube. All right, let's wrap up the show with our segment, Questions from Instagram, where I answer three fan sports questions. If you want to be part of Questions from Instagram, just type in your question on the STP Pod Instagram story, and most likely we will answer your question and give you a shout out on the next episode. Let's get started. The first question comes from @ChipLover55. She asks, who do you think will claim or sign Odell Beckham Jr.? Well, I definitely think he's going to be claimed over getting signed. There's another really good receiver that I was surprised didn't get claimed was DeSean Jackson, but he's going to be finding a team very soon. That's a good question. I wouldn't be surprised if the Chiefs landed him. Of course, the Buccaneers, you never know with Brady. The Patriots do need a receiver. They don't really have that great of receivers. I mean, they do have Jacoby Myers, Kendrick Bourne, and Nelson Agholor, but they're not number ones. Odell Beckham could be a number one and could be used to what he was. I'm not sure how well he would agree with Belichick, but let's be honest. I mean, Randy Moss, well, people thought his career was over, and then he goes to New England and he's got new life again. So anything can happen, but to be honest with you, I think the one team that will probably wind up landing him, I don't know, I just got a gut feeling the Rams could possibly do that. They just lost to Sean Jackson. I got a feeling they're going to bring in Odell Beckham. But again, thanks for the question, @ChipLover55. The next question comes from @Jake_Thomas. He asks, could you see a scenario where Rodgers stays in Green Bay after the season if they don't win the Super Bowl? Short answer, no. I mean, I don't think he's going. I think he's leaving only unless they win the Super Bowl. Even if they lose the Super Bowl, I could see him leaving. You can tell he does not like it in Green Bay, and right now he's getting ridiculed for not having the vaccine, but I don't think he's going to Green Bay, and I think there's a lot of teams that would look for him. I don't know if Denver is interested. I've heard a lot of rumors that the Giants, I think, are interested as well. It's going to be interesting. I don't know, the Niners before the draft to Trey Lance, that would have made a lot of sense, but I got a feeling the Packers are going to trade him to an AFC team. But again, thanks for the question, @Jake_Thomas. The last question comes from @Chris_P77. He asked, what do you think of the Lakers and Clippers season so far? Well, first of all, it's very early in the season. LeBron is now out. I think he won't be back till later this week. The Clippers still don't have Kawhi Leonard. So it's still early in the year. I wouldn't freak out, but yeah, they lost to the Thunder on Thursday or Friday night, but without LeBron. So I mean, I wouldn't freak out yet, but I think, I mean, the Lakers aren't having the same season as they thought they would, but I thought they added way too many old veterans, and I didn't think they did enough to get young talent. But again, it's very early in the season. The Clippers, of course, they're doing all right, despite what we expected without Kawhi. They're going to make the playoffs, but once Kawhi Leonard comes, this team is going to be hard to play. But again, I wouldn't freak out. All right, again, thanks for the question. At Chris underscore P77. Now, again, thanks for the questions. And don't forget, if you want to be part of questions from Instagram, just type in your sports question, the SDP pod story, and most likely I will answer your question and give you a shout out on the next episode.